Think about a time when you had good news. I mean, really good news. Maybe your parents came home and told you that you were going to have a big brother or a big sister. Maybe you made the team. Maybe you got a really good report card. Maybe you got into that college you applied to. Maybe you got the promotion you were really hoping for. Who was the first person you told? Was it your parents? Was it your mother? Maybe it was your father. Was it your significant other? Was it your best friend? Do you remember how it felt? You know, when Lucy fell through the back of the wardrobe, the first people she went to tell about Narnia were her brothers and sisters. When Andrew, one of Jesus' first disciples, found the Messiah, the first person he went to tell was his brother, Simon Peter. John 1:41 tells us the first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah, that is the Christ." When Brittany and I have good news, the first person we call are our parents or our best friends, or we text them. When Brittany and I found out we were expecting each of our three children, who were the first person we told? The people closest to us. When we received the news that we would be coming to Evanston, who were the first people we called? You guessed it. We called our parents. We texted our parents. We texted our best friends. Well, friends, as we pick up the story of Jesus' birth in Luke, the best news in the entire universe was about to be delivered. I can imagine the heavenly scene. I can imagine angels gathered around the throne of God waiting for our Heavenly Father to tell them that the plan that had been put in place for God's beloved was finally going to come to fruition, that he was going to send his very Son, fully God, fully man, to save us. As Peter would tell us later in 1 Peter 1, verse 12, even angels long to look into these things. So who did the Father tell the angels to tell? This best news of the universe, the news that would flip the world upside down, who did the angels tell? Well, they told a group of shepherds. In Luke chapter 2, verse 8, we pick up the story. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news." By the way, good news, this is what the gospel is, that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Shepherds, the first people that were told were shepherds, the blue-collar, lowly and humble shepherds. One scholar puts it this way, the news was directed to shepherds rather than to parents, thus to outsiders in a double sense. Those who were outside the circle of Jesus' family of origin, and it was delivered to outsiders, people of low regard. He picked shepherds. Imagine if God's good news were coming today. Imagine who would get the news first. And if it was anything like back then, it would get delivered to those who maybe get government aid, to those who can't seem to get ahead, to the day laborers. This news would show up first in Englewood. It would show up first on the South Side. This angelic episode only appears in Luke. We pick Luke for our series because we'll find Luke constantly telling us over and over again that this good news, this gospel, is for all people. It's a gospel for everyone. But Luke makes the special point that it's a gospel for those without power. It's a gospel for those who are underneath society. That's why the shepherds show up in this book. And why there is a lengthy description of the birth scene, which is also humble and lowly. Joseph and Mary could not find room at the inn, so they had to trespass on a Jewish family's hospitality, laying the Prince of Peace in a feeding trough. What does this mean for you and me? Well, it means for you and me that no matter who we are or what we've done, no matter our pedigree or our background or our credentialing or our family name, it doesn't matter who we are. We have free access to that joy, that great joy, to that good news. I mean, we too might relate to shepherds. We too might feel like we are maybe on the bottom, and yet our Heavenly Father chooses us. And here's the thing, it's not just one angel, it's a great company. It's a fireworks display. It's more beautiful than mankind probably has ever seen. It's an extravagant, marvelous light show, and again, it's for shepherds. Verse 13, suddenly a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." Verse 15, when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherd said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. So the shepherds find the baby lying in a manger. Here's a baby, the Lord, the Messiah, born in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Lying in a feeding trough on the bottom floor of a generous and pitying first century Jewish family. But to the shepherds, humble birth or not, they found the Savior. And they have great joy. They leave, as the scripture tells us, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen. And they can't help but tell everyone. They spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, because that's what you do when you have great joy. And listen, when the angels sing, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace to those on whom his favor rests," they are giving glory to God and they're proclaiming the coming peace to everyone, especially the lowly. But I believe they're also singing about Jesus. Jesus is glory. Jesus is peace. Jesus is literally glory to God. His whole life is an ode, a poem, a song to the beauty and greatness of God. He is, as the writer of the book of Hebrews says, the radiance of God's glory. He is, as the apostle John calls him, the bright morning star. He is, as the prophet Malachi says, the son of righteousness who has risen with healing in his wings. Just as you and I cannot live without the brightness and warmth of our sun, Jesus is our sun. He is our warmth. He is our light. Our lives are in orbit around this sun who has mercy and healing for every single person who calls on his name. Glory to God indeed. I used to live in the Pacific Northwest, and the first winter I lived there, it rained 91 days straight. The sun didn't come out. But when it did, everything changed. People came out of their homes. Flowers burst into color. Smiles involuntarily appeared on people's faces. This is what happens when Jesus comes into our lives. His coming is glory, and it brings great joy. And here's another thing. What does it mean that this glory is revealed to shepherds, especially to those of us who might not find that we relate to shepherds? What does it mean for those of us who maybe aren't underneath society, who find ourselves thankfully with plenty? You know, I said when this message began that when we have good news, we tell those closest to us. What does it say about the status of shepherds that God would choose them to first share the news? I think in the very least, for those of us who might not relate to the shepherds, there is a challenge in this passage. Can we, as God does, see those who are underneath society as the near privileged ones in the economy of the kingdom? Can we honor and lift them up? Can we look to them, these least of these, as so near that Jesus would later say in his parable that he was one of them? Glory to God. Glory to God for all people, especially for those who find themselves lowly or underneath or downtrodden. But he's also peace. He's glory and he's peace. He is the peace of God for those of us who have been alienated from him because of our rebellion and sin. He made peace for you and me through the cross. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near through the blood, by the blood of Christ. He once for all defeated sin and death and won cosmic victory over every evil power so that you and I could have peace with him and so that you and I could be daughters and sons. Have you ever experienced fracture in a relationship? Have you ever had friends that betrayed or you felt betrayed by, that you betrayed or you felt betrayed by? Or have you ever had that in your family? And then have you experienced reconciliation? Do you remember how that felt? I remember one of my best friends came over one day. I mean, we had been estranged for years. I mean, he felt betrayed by me. But he came over with his wife one day to offer reconciliation. And I could not stop smiling. I mean, even though I was stammering out apology after apology, I could not stop smiling because it was so good to see him. It is so good for our souls when there is peace between us. Imagine this and multiply it by a universe. This is the kind of peace that Jesus brings. The possibility of peace relationally, the possibility of peace systemically, and the certainty of that peace at the end of time. And when the angels sing peace to those on whom his favor rests, he's saying, the angels are saying, that the possibility of favor rests on you and me. I mean, the shepherds just about prove that. No one, not even the lowly and humble shepherd, are outside of his favor. There is nothing that stands in the way of receiving this good news. Not institutional oppression, not hostility, not power, not pedigree, not privilege, not wealth. We all stand as one before God in need of his salvation, deliverance, and victory, and we all can receive it. Peace to us because of Jesus. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let we all receive our King. This is what Christmas is all about. Glory and peace from Jesus. In the form of a baby, glory and peace come to us. Can we pause just for a moment and remember? Just pause just for a moment and take a breath to remember the glory and peace that has come to us and given us great joy because of Jesus. And if you're here and you've never before entered into the great joy of knowing Jesus, can I encourage you today to do it? There is no list of regrets too long. His mercy is here for you today, just as it was for the shepherds. If you have been waiting to make a decision to follow Jesus, could I invite you to make that decision today? Could I invite you to receive the great joy that Jesus gives us, the peace that he brings to us? Could I encourage you to receive that? If you want to make a decision to follow Jesus today, could you just bow your heads and pray this prayer with me? Jesus, I welcome you into my life. Jesus, come take leadership of my life. I set down my sin and my rebellion and I look to you. I want to follow you. Thank you for making me part of your family, for your forgiveness and love. I believe you, my Savior. Amen.